Hallelujah. Yes, praise the Lord. God is on the move here today. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 6. Praise the Lord. I asked the Lord, what shall we minister on today? And it won't just be today, but for the next few weeks. We're going to take this as a text, Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9. Many of you will know that what that verse says already. It's one of the most quoted verses in Paul's writing. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Amen. If we do not give up. Praise the Lord. God is wanting to give us a harvest. Listen to that same verse from the Authorized Bible. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Amen. If we faint not, if we don't give up. And the crux of what we've heard already this morning, through prophecy and through what Benger has shared with us, is that God is with us at all times, in all places, in all circumstances, to see us through if we don't give up, if we faint not, if we continue, we shall reap. Hallelujah. And God is exhorting us and encouraging this morning that this is not a time for sitting down and standing back and taking the back seat and letting other people get on with it. This is a time for standing up and being counted. Hallelujah. A few weeks ago, we preached about the call of God. Remember? And we said that, are we going to be willing in the day of his power? That we won't be like Ephraim who turned and ran in the day of battle, but we said we are going to go on, we are accepting the call, we're accepting the challenge, we're going to move on in the things of God, whatever God has got in store for us as a fellowship together and as individuals before him, we want to accept that, we want to take that, we want to move in that, live in that, achieve the things that God wants us to achieve. If we faint not, if we don't quit. Hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. Now, the Bible is a book of encouragement and exhortation and promises that is designed to build up our hearts and our faith and make us strong in the Lord. But because we are people who still live in the flesh, in this life, sometimes we miss that. And temptations and trials, tribulation, persecution, trouble in all its guises, and negative experiences come upon us, and somehow that inner resolve seems to sag. And we lose that sense of purpose and direction, and we can end up falling by the wayside if we're not careful and missing out on what God has for us. To him that overcomes, the Bible says. To him that overcomes. To him that overcomes. And God wants us to be a people of overcomers, not those who have been overcome. Amen. If you don't remember anything else of what I've said this morning, remember that. We are to be a people of overcomers, not a people who have been overcome. And the things of this life have a habit of trying to overcome us, don't they? whether it's a sickness, whether it's a crisis in the family, whether it's a financial need, whatever it may be, whether it's employment problems, difficulties along the way, we face these things. But they are not to overcome us, we are to overcome them in the grace and in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Christ alone. Amen. In Christ alone, my hope is found. We've sung it this morning. We've heard it in prophecy. We've heard it in exhortation that God is with us, that he has no intentions of letting us go, that his love is everlasting, from everlasting to everlasting, that it doesn't depend on what we do or what we don't do. He loves us anyway. His love is unconditional. And he wants to pour that love and power into our lives so that we do not quit. Let's read that again, but we'll back up to verse 7. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. Hallelujah. Don't faint. Don't quit. Don't fold up. There have been times and seasons in my own life where I felt like quitting and giving up. Times of discouragement. Times of spiritual discouragement. Times when I've wondered where I was going, where the church was going, where everything was going. And in those times, the temptation is to say, ah, I've had enough. Let somebody else have a go. But praise God, somehow he's brought me through those times and refired and revisioned and re-established his word in my life. And God has brought me through. And that's what he wants to do for every single one of us. Don't need to turn to it, but Isaiah 41 verse 10 says, fear not, for I am with you. Amen. Fear not. Bible says that God's perfect love casts out all fear. And so if we're in fear of something this morning, we could be in fear of redundancy in this season of financial problems that we're going through. We could be in fear of swine flu. I've got to go to a meeting tomorrow night. They've called all the ministers together again for the second time in Warrington to talk about swine flu and the implications of a flu epidemic hitting the town. And we could look at this and we could think, wow, you know, if these people are planning now for mass burials and this and that and the other, which they are doing, that's how much our government and the local councils are taking this seriously. That's why we're going to get together at Walton Gardens tomorrow night, Walton Hall. We could be in fear of that. Amen. And people are in fear of it, aren't they, this morning? People all over our nation and the nations are fearful of this that's broken out. But God says, fear not, for I am with you. Amen. We heard this morning, even if we're walking through the shadow, the valley of the shadow of death, we are to fear not, because God is with us, even in those times. And so if you're afraid of something, if you're fearful of something this morning, the answer is God's love. As Benga said, get a word for your situation. Get a word for your circumstances. Seek the Lord for a word and then hold on to the word of the Lord. Jesus said, everything's going to be shaken except my word. That abides forever. That can never be shaken. And so we're encouraged in the scriptures to fear not. Romans 8:31. If God is for us, who can be against us? But we need to know that God is for us. I think sometimes the temptation is, even for us who know that we're believers, know that we're children of God, we feel somehow that God is neutral. You know, that he doesn't really like to interfere in our lives too much. You know, that he sits there and watches us to see what kind of a way we're going to live and what we're going to do and what we're going to achieve. But listen, Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. Now that tells me that God is very proactive. He's not just sitting on the touchline waiting to see how we play the game. Amen. He is actively involved in our lives to the point where Jesus said, if I don't do it, you won't either. Because I'm working through you. It's my work through you. And so God is very, very much involved in our lives. And so if he is for us, who can be against us? Amen. Who can be against us? Jesus said, all power has been given to me. All power. Not just some power, but all power has been given to me. The psalmist said, the Lord is on my side. I shall not fear. The Lord is on my side. Psalm 118, verse 6. You see, at times like this, we've got to speak to our own heart. Remember how it was with David? How when the Philistines had come and taken away his family and his friends and taken them all captive and everything had gone and his own men were turning on him and saying, it's your fault this has happened. This is your fault. What did David do? Go into a corner and cry and say, oh God, I've let you down. I've let the people down. Look at the mess we're in now. Better elect a new leader because I can't do this anymore. He didn't say that. The Bible says that he encouraged himself in the Lord. And he got up and he said, right, follow me. We're going to take back everything that the enemy has taken from us. Amen. And he did. And they came back with more than what they lost. Hallelujah. And we need to know this, that God is for us. In fact, God is even in you. Hallelujah. He's in you. I was reading the other day in John's Gospel, John 15. I in them, and thou in me. Hallelujah. Jesus and the Father, in you and I. Branches from the vine. Connected to the source. But again, Jesus said, without me you can do nothing. If those branches are disconnected, if those branches are lopped off, what do? They wither and they die. And so we have to be so connected with the Lord. How do we connect with the Lord? Through his word. I know of no better way of connecting with God than through his word and through prayerful consideration of his word. That's the way we connect with God. I pray that some of you have connected with God in a new way this morning. Hallelujah. That was my heart's cry to the Lord, as I said earlier on. That was my heart's cry to God this morning as I considered the meeting today, that we would connect with him, that we wouldn't be just going through the motions of church. You know, let's have a time of praise. Let's give our offering. Let's get the kids out. Let's, you know, we can do all that and miss God. Amen. We can do all that and not find what God is really wanting to say to us and to encourage us in this morning. We can miss it. If I miss it, you'll miss it. But I can be in the Spirit, and so can the prophets, and so can the worship leaders, and you can still miss it. Because it's he that has ears to hear. Let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. And so we have to come in with that kind of attitude. Don't faint. Don't quit. Don't give up. Don't be discouraged. God says, I will dwell in them and walk in them. I will be their God and they shall be my people. Hallelujah. And I'm persuaded this morning that nobody that God dwells in is lacking in resources to overcome. If the living God is in you and I, through his Spirit, then we have all that we need for life and godliness. Amen. Isaiah 40 and 29 says, he gives power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases their strength. Glory to God. If you're feeling faint this morning, wait upon the Lord, the scripture says. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. That's why it's so important that we come together and wait upon the Lord together. And we have those times of private devotion, private time, where we seek the Lord in his word and through prayer. It is so important. It's lifeblood to us. It's the resource of heaven being deposited in our lives. He gives power to the faint. You see, when we feel that way, when we feel faint, when we feel that we've no might, we've no power, we get to the verge of giving up. And our own feelings tell us that it's all gone. All the resources are gone. All the strength that I had is gone. All the ability that I had to overcome is gone. But listen to what God says. Psalm 27. Turn to the Psalms. Amen. Psalm 27. Here's a psalm from David. Psalm of encouraging himself, which he needed to do on more than one occasion, didn't he? Because if anybody went through it, David did. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Praise the Lord. When evil men advance against me to devour my flesh, when my enemies and my foes attack me, they will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then will I be confident. One thing I ask of the Lord. See, he knew the secret. Amen. David knew the secret of success. And this is the secret of success. One thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. For in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his tabernacle and set me high upon a rock. Praise the Lord. And then verse 13. I love this verse. I am still confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. Amen. Is somebody this morning waiting for the Lord to do something that you've been praying about? Something that you've been seeking God for? Then don't give up. Don't quit. Wait for the Lord and be confident of this, that you will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Not just in heaven, but now. Amen. We can believe God for salvation. We can believe God for heaven. We can believe God that when we die that there's a mansion waiting for us on the other side. We can believe in eternal bliss. But somehow we struggle to believe that God wants to do us good in this life. And yet he does. Hallelujah. And David, with all his problems and all his difficulties and all those who hated him, all who were trying to take his life, was confident of seeing God's goodness in his life. And of course he did. Became one of Israel's greatest kings, perhaps the greatest. Glory to God. You see, don't faint. Don't quit. Be strong. Wait for the Lord. Luke chapter 18. Verse 1, then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. Authorized Bible, men ought always to pray and not to faint. Now the Greek word here that's translated faint in the authorized and give up in the NIV means to cave in. You know, when the pressure is just so strong against you that you implode. Everything caves in. And so Jesus is saying to his disciples, say, look, guys, keep on praying, don't cave in. Don't give in to the pressure. Don't give up under the pressure. Don't let the pressure cause you to cave in. You see, to give up in the light of all that God has done for us, and the light of the fact that we have access to the throne of grace this morning, is not honoring to God, is it? When we give up and we stop praying and we think, oh, God will never do this. This isn't for me. With all the promises of the scripture to take a hold of, sometimes we lose heart, we give in to fear and discouragement and doubt. When we should be rebuking and pressing through in prayer. See, the Amplified Bible puts this verse where the authorized says not to faint. It says not to turn coward, faint, lose heart, and give up. Ooh, that's strong, isn't it? That's very strong. Coward. So it's saying that if we give up, we're cowardly. Nobody wants to be thought of as being cowardly. You know, cowards are quitters, and quitters never win. Quitters never overcome. When we give up halfway through something, we're never going to see the end. We're never going to see the result. We're never going to experience the joy. We're never going to reap the harvest. If the farmer loads his tractor up with seed, and then the rain comes and he says, I'm not sowing. I'm not getting out in this. And he leaves the seed in the seed hopper for the rest of the year. At the end of the year, he's going to end up with a lot of rotten seed. Amen. But if he gets out there and he spreads the seed and he does the work and he puts the groundwork in that's necessary, he will reap his harvest. Nothing can stop it. It's a law of nature. And it's a spiritual law for you and I that if we sow and we sow and we don't give up and we keep on sowing, God will reward his people. He has to do. He has no option because he is faithful to his word. Amen. He cannot not do it. It would be totally against everything that heaven stands for God to withhold his blessing from somebody who sows. If he does, it's against his nature, and it's breaking his word. And one thing God will never do is break his word. And so we can be absolutely certain that if we sow, we'll reap. As long as we don't quit. Faint not. And so let's read the rest of this little story. Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up, not turn coward. He said, in a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared about men. There was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, grant me justice against my adversary. For some time he refused, but finally he said to himself, even though I don't fear God or care about men, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually wear me out with her coming. And the Lord said, verse 6, Listen to what the unjust judge says. Try saying that one quickly. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Or will he find a bunch of quitters? That's what Jesus is saying there. He's saying to the disciples, look, guys, you can have your answers. Just don't quit. Just keep on keeping on. Keep on praying. Keep on seeking the Lord. And God will answer you. But sometimes God doesn't answer in our time frame. He answers in his. And we have to wait on the Lord. As David said there in that psalm we read, Psalm 27, wait for the Lord. Wait for the Lord. Keep on wait for the Lord. God forbids that we should have a faint-hearted attitude towards prayer. And the devil loves it when we quit. He loves it. Because when we quit, we rob God of the ability to answer, and so we rob God of his glory. And what started me off thinking down these lines this week was this verse in John 14. Verse 13. Let's read from verse 11. John chapter 14 and verse 11. This is the words of Jesus as he speaks to his disciples. Very, very soon he will die. He's only got hours of life left. And he's leaving his disciples with their final instructions, their final things for their consideration. And he says, believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe on the evidence of the miracles themselves. I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father. And this is the verse, and I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name and I will do it. You see, when we ask and God grants, God is glorified. So God will answer anything that's glorifying to him. Amen. Anything that glorifies God, God is pleased to answer. Anything that lifts up the name of Jesus, anything that will bless and strengthen us in our spiritual walk with him, God will be pleased to answer it because it brings glory to him. Amen. The prayers that bring glory to God are the prayers that get answered. Selfish prayers, fleshy prayers. I've known people in the past who pray fleshy prayers. What's a fleshy prayer? A fleshy prayer is when we're praying outside of the will of God. When it's our flesh that's looking for an answer. And it's outside of the will of God. There was a man once who set himself up to pray against me. He didn't like me. He didn't like the fact that I was in authority. He didn't like my preaching. I don't think he liked anything about me. And I found out through another source that he was asking people to pray against me. And that God would remove me or whatever. Well, I'm still here and he's long gone. You see, God doesn't listen to fleshy prayers. God strike him down. God answers prayers like when Jesus said, if you have an enemy that's persecuting you, pray for him. Not that God has strike him down. Pray the blessing of God on him. Amen. Pray the blessing of God. If somebody asks for your coat, give him your tunic also. If somebody says go a mile, go 2 miles. Bless those who hate you and pray for those who persecute you. You see, that's an unfleshy prayer. That's a spiritual prayer that God is pleased to answer because it brings glory to his name. And so Jesus is saying here, you've got to look at, you see, you could take this as license to pray for anything. Ah, God, I really fancy a helicopter. You know, I hate this morning traffic. You know, wouldn't it be good to have a helicopter and a big house with a helipad and I could just fly to work every morning and wave to everybody down there in the queue on the M62. You know, it'd be wonderful. God, send me a helicopter. I really need that. Now we've had... I was going to use a word there. Idiots. This is going on the website, so I'm a lot more careful these days in what I say, you see. But we've had idiots in the past who have said you can have whatever you want because of verses like this in the scripture. Name it and claim it. If you want it, God will give it you. But he doesn't answer fleshy prayers. I'm sorry, he doesn't. He only answers prayers that bring glory to him. Now, if me having a helicopter is somehow going to bring glory to God, it's a different story. But I don't need a helicopter. I've nowhere to put it. Amen. Would be foolish, wouldn't it? Oh, God, I need a helicopter. And so one day a big truck pulls up outside 20 St. David's Drive with a helicopter on. And the man says, this is for you from God. Now, what am I going to do with this? You see, foolish people have made foolishness of the promises of God by turning them into things that God never meant them to be. But if you have a need, a genuine need in your life, that if God fills that need, it will bring glory to him and people all around you will say, praise the Lord, look what God has done for John. Look what God has done for Joe and Di. Look what God has done for Wendy. Then God is glorified and he's happy to meet the need. Amen. Can you see that? It's not a question of what we want. It's a question of what he wants. And when we pray in according to his will and something that will bring him glory, he says, don't quit. Pray on. Pray on. Pray on until God says no. Sometimes he might. If he knows it's not right, if it's not in his will, when he says no, accept it and move on. Otherwise, pray on, pray on, pray on. I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. That is, for me, the key to this whole business of prayer. If it's going to glorify God, if it's going to be good for the kingdom, if it's going to build you up spiritually and make you strong, God says, I'll do it. But if it's just for our self-gratification and our fleshy nature, God says you can do without that 15-bedroom mansion you keep asking me for. You don't need it. And anyway, you wouldn't be able to afford the council tax on it. Amen? You see, God knows what we have need of before we ask, the scripture says. But he loves it when his children come to ask. Because in asking, we demonstrate our faith in our Heavenly Father. And when we ask, it gives God the opportunity to fulfill the need and to bring glory to his name. And it gives the waiting world out there the opportunity to see that God has been gracious to you and to me and has moved in our life. And people can't deny it when they see the power of God moving on our behalf. How many times has God moved and done things for us in the past, and people have stood amazed and been amazed at the glory that has come to God. And so don't quit. Amen. Don't quit. Faint not. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. Don't cave in. Don't give the enemy the opportunity to rob you of the blessing of God, of the answer of God. Be like David, who says, I'd rather spend a day in the courts of the Lord than 1,000 anywhere else. So remember this morning, Joe will put on the website the old version of this, faint not, okay? Faint not. Don't quit. Don't cave in. Don't end up. You see, if you faint, you end up on the floor, don't you? If you faint, medically speaking, you end up flat on your back or flat on your face. One of them. I remember when I was, it's funny, something stick in your mind. When I was in the infant school, of all places, I must have only been 6 or 7, in an assembly, and this terrible feeling of faint came upon me, and I almost ended up flat on my face, but somehow I managed to stay on my feet. And then it happened again when I was in high school in a biology lesson, and everything swam. And I said to the teacher, I don't feel well. And he said, what? I just feel, oh. And he said, put your head between your knees. And I did, and after about a few seconds, I felt fine after that. But I was in danger of being laid out on both of those occasions. And that's what happens when you faint. And that's exactly what Satan wants for you. To lay you flat. Amen. When God says stand. Amen. Stand. Having done all, to stand. That's the will of God for you and I. Not to quit. Not to faint. But to continue to stand in his grace and for his glory. Now next week, I think it's me next week, isn't it? I know we've got Bob and the other Bob coming to do the Gideon's thing, but I think that's a couple of weeks yet. Next week, we'll be talking about not fainting in service for the Lord and not fainting in trials and tribulations, and we'll look at the different scriptures. God is doing something in our lives, amen, because this is not a day to quit. This is a day where we need to strengthen that which remains. As a church, we've been very blessed over the past few years. We've seen our numbers increase, and yet in this past 12 months, we've seen a decrease. You look around you this morning. Interesting, isn't it? We were competing for seats 18 months ago, and we had more seats out than what we've got now. So what's changed? I was talking about this to Christine yesterday. We were considering this. What's changed? Are we doing anything different? No. Is God not speaking to his church? No, it's not that. We've heard clearly from the Lord this morning. God is still at work here at Bethany. So what's happened? Why have we got so many orange seats this morning? I know that the children have gone out. We have a lot of children. That's wonderful. Praise the Lord for the kids. But there's more to it than that. You see, whenever You remember Pastor Billy came. He's coming again, actually, in a few weeks in June. He's going to be doing some seminars at Emmaus and a meeting on Saturday night at Wycliffe, which we can all go to. But Pastor Billy came from Nigeria all those years. I don't know, it's got to be 8-9 years ago. He came a couple of times, didn't he? And I think it was the second time he stood here. He said, God's going to do something with this church. He's going to bring a touch of revival here. And he did. He did. And we had folks literally queuing on a Sunday morning to get seats. And we had seats all along the back and, you know. Where are those folks today? Why are they not here? Why are they not enjoying the blessing of God? For some of them, it's because they fainted and quit and said, it's too much. It's too hard, too difficult to live this Christian life. And the devil has done a job on them somehow and discouraged them. Now I know that there are those who are not here for good reasons this morning. And that's fine. You're always going to get that. Especially in this society that we live in. But for some this morning, they just can't be bothered. They've been knocked out. They've been deflected from the purposes of God in their life. And that is why I believe that the Lord is speaking to us the way he is at the moment. To not be quitters, not to give up, to take the call. I said just a few weeks ago that if we're going to go on to the next level as a church and become more than what we are now, we need people to stand up and say, I can do this. I can take this on. I can take Sunday school on. I can take the youth on. I can take this. I can do something new. You know, one of the great blessings to the church at the moment is the pensioners popping, because some people stood up 12 months ago and said, I can do this. And they've done it. And praise God, God has blessed it with up to a dozen people coming in now. And it's going to take people to say, I can do this. Not, oh, I want to sit back on a Monday night. I don't want to do that. Them horrible teenagers. I can't be mithered. And it's easy to do that, isn't it? It's easy to do that. You know, God is not quit with the teenagers. We're going to finish in a minute. Do you believe that? God has not finished with the teenagers of this town. You know, I heard a report just yesterday that Hope Alive Church, they've started a new work in Orford at a community centre in Orford. And you know, they had 90 youngsters under about 12, 90 came. And then when the teenagers bit came after, they had 60. Praise the Lord. You see, the kids are willing to come if we're willing to meet them. But if we won't put the time in, they won't come. And it's a challenge, isn't it, to every one of us to say, I've got to do more than what I'm doing. In this day when work demands more and family demands more and everything's demanding more of me, I've got to get my priorities right. I've not got to be a quitter. I've not got to sit back at ease in Zion. Bible says, woe to them who sit at ease in Zion. I've not got to build my kingdom. I've got to build God's kingdom. It's not all about my career. It's about what I can do for Jesus. Amen. Think about these things. If some of the folks that were sat in these seats had thought about those things, perhaps 6-12 months ago, they'd have been here this morning. But they're not. They've become victims of the enemy's discouragement and lies. When Jesus says, stand and be counted. So God bless you all. I do pray that I've provoked and the words that we've had this morning have provoked something in us to say, I'm not going to be knocked out. I'm going on. We used to sing a song, didn't we? I'm going on. I'm going on towards the mark, towards my goal. Too many lives depend on what I do. Give me the strength, O Lord. I'm going on for you. Father, we thank you this morning, Lord, that you are not calling us to be of those who turn back, but, Lord, those who press through. Lord, specifically in prayer this morning, we pray that you will encourage us, Lord, to pray more. Father, I pray that some folks even here this morning might say, I'll come tonight to pray. Lord Jesus, even on a Sunday night we've lost folks, Lord, who used to meet with us to pray. And Lord, we understand from your word here that you are willing to grant answers to our prayers when we glorify you. And so, Lord, help us to pray more this week. Lord, help us to be a people who will pray on and pray on and seek the answers, Lord, to this life's cares and worries. Father, in your grace and mercy. And so, Lord, we commit ourselves to you for another week, Lord, that you will watch over us and bless us, keep us. Lord, provide for us, heal us. Lord, do all that we need because, Lord, we're the sheep of your pasture. Lead us in, lead us out. Be our protector. Be our friend and Lord, because we'll give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen.